ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located right here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. That's where we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast by BTR, that's Blog Talk Radio, of course, as well as YouTube Live. Look, see? Right there. Are you watching us? Yeah. Don't forget, folks, we got two separate websites, one for the show. It's HagmanandHagman.com. There go for the show. And then, of course, for news and information, HagmanReport.com. Bookmark both, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher, and, of course, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We go to places where others refuse to, don't, won't, will not, do not. That's right. Bring you what the news is behind the news, what the stuff is behind the headlines. You know, it was a great show last night, folks. Dinesh D'Souza and, of course, Carl Gallups. Isn't that, yeah. Sorry, let's have some background.
We both got our speakers on here. So.
Was that you or me?
That was you, but right. My speakers are on also, so let's...
Go figure.
Let's
do this together, right? No, anyway, okay. So, nothing like knocking me off my train of thought. It doesn't take much, of course. But
we got a great show lined up for you tonight while you're getting your stuff together. In hours two together. And three, we're going to have author David Thomas coming
on. You don't want to hear this guy.
He is the author of Called for Life, How Loving Your Neighbor Led Us into the Heart of the Ebola Epidemic. Seal of God, as well as Remember Why You Play, which turned into a featured film. And
featured film indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, and the book about the Ebola Called for Life. The person that they write about in this book, the doctor, was the Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get into that in hour two. And in this hour, we got some commentary from both myself and my father, as well as post-debate analysis.
Yeah, just what you want to hear, right? Post-debate. Hey, have you heard enough lately? Who won?
See, we're not on video because half my hair is gone as I ripped it out, realizing there was still 3 weeks away from the debate.
Actually, Eric bloodied both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He threatened us not to mention the election again.
Yeah. As we see people filing in, as people are filing in, welcome and grab a seat, the best seat, right there by your computer or on your phone. Of course, our app that we have. And, you know, how many people out there right today are bummed? Do you feel bummed? Kind of a heavy spirit, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, looking at the political landscape and the state of the world, it's very easy to get bummed. But if you have the proper perspective and mindset, it's hard to get bummed.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Why are you bummed out?
Well, you know what? It's this time of year for me. It's for reasons I'm not going to get into.
The studio, you were in the corner, you know, eating lithium and crying.
Dorsey. Like Tic Tacs. No, you know, it's just one of those things. But I watch the, you know, I'm sad for our country. I'm sad for the way things are playing out. I'm sad for our children. I really am. I've got my thoughts. Now, this is not a defeatist attitude. This is just a momentary, I don't know what you call it, just a momentary feeling, if you will. I'm human, right? So I can feel this way. But I just don't, I'm bummed. I don't want to bum you guys out. So I'm not going to stay in that arena or stay there. I really think, I mean, there's so much good in the world, but there's also so much crap. And it's amazing to me. What amazes me and saddens me is, you know, how people can just go after other people so viciously. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form a pacifist. I will fight back. I will hit back. I will smack back. I will come after, you know, you come after me or my family, I'll come after you twice as hard, right? I mean, that's not the issue. But why? You know, what's the motivation behind people? And Steve and I sometimes, Steve Quayle and I, we talk about this. You should hear some of the phone conversations we have. I mean, and some of the conversations that we carry on. It's just, you know, we talk about this, and then there are some really, really unbelievable people out there, both good and bad. Anyway, a couple of things. Let me start off by saying this. The WikiLeaks. Now, I have been, both Joe and I have been really working hard at deciphering the WikiLeaks, all of them. Coming out tomorrow is going to be an introduction, my introduction to my framing of the WikiLeaks. Okay, now I'm going to give you some insight. Those people listening to the broadcast today, you're going to have a jump on things. But look, the first thing in the morning, check Hagman Report and Canada Free Press tomorrow morning. And you can always comment, leave a comment on Canada Free Press. But when you look at the WikiLeaks, and having been, again, the only thing I really know how to do is be an investigator. I'm not a bricklayer. I don't hang drywall. I suppose I could. Might not look the best, but you know, when I look at WikiLeaks, I'm reminded historically of the Pentagon Papers. The WikiLeaks, the Podesta Papers, are the Pentagon Papers of 2016. Now hear me out. I'm going to quote from H.R. Haldeman. H.R. Haldeman from 1971, 14th of June, 1971. He said this at exactly at 3:09 p.m. according to the White House tapes. And he said this to Richard Nixon. And think about this statement. To the ordinary guy, and this is about the Pentagon Papers, and I'll tell you about that in a second. For those people who don't know history or weren't taught history or forgot or whatever. But he said this about the Pentagon Papers. He said, to the ordinary guy, all of this is a bunch of gobbledygook. That's right, he said that, gobbledygook. But out of the gobbledygook comes a very clear thing. You can't trust the government. You can't believe what they say. And you can't rely on their judgment. This is from H.R. Haldeman, Chief Counsel to Nixon. Now, you know, you take a brief review of history, and it effectively exposes both the rampant hypocrisy of the Clinton cabal and their supporters. You know, those goofy-eyed people clapping like little monkeys in the back behind the Hillary, you know, stage. Whenever Hillary's propped up, you got they should have organ grinders next to them. They're clapping and, you know, their mouths are open and they're smiling and nodding and what do they call those dolls? Bobblehead dolls. But what this does, it does effectively expose both the rampant hypocrisy of the Clinton cabal and their supporters and reveals the complicity of the corporate media in a web of lies, cover-ups, and obfuscation to support the political progressive left at all costs. You see, at the epicenter At the epicenter of all this is the Clinton power machine, the Clinton Foundation, the Obama-Clinton foreign policy of destruction, the global power restructuring, the largest transfer of wealth and largesse, and the death grip by the Clinton machine to hold power through the upcoming election. One of the biggest threats to them, of course, is WikiLeaks. But you wouldn't know it by the media, would you? Of course not. You see, the WikiLeaks disclosures present an increasingly uncomfortable situation for the political left, especially for the Clintons and their supporters. They also serve as a reminder why the corporate media is irrelevant and illustrate just how journalists of today have been castrated, co-opted by the criminal cabal of globalists. Don't you agree, folks? I mean, the media now serve as the primary propaganda arm to cover the criminality of those in power instead of uncovering it.
Absolutely.
And
this is part of psychological warfare operations and influence operations conducted by the United States government, where they detail in their own white papers the history of influence operations, influence theory, influence history, influence tools, propaganda and counter-propaganda, as well as information theory and strategic communication, neuro-linguistic programming, and social and behavioral research, for starters.
There you go. folks, I want you to compare the WikiLeaks situation to the publication of the Pentagon Papers back in 1971. A little rundown history lane here for you. Briefly, and for those who are unfamiliar with this history, the Pentagon Papers is kind of a romantic term for a 7,000-page, 47-volume, top-secret report titled United States-Vietnam Relations, 1945 to 1967. A study prepared by the State Department, or by the Department of Defense. Now, think of this report being at the Department of Defense. This report exposed the blatant lies of multiple administrations, from Kennedy to Johnson to Nixon, to the American public about Vietnam, about the Vietnam War, about Laos, about Cambodia, and ultimately became an embarrassment, ultimately, to the Nixon administration. So, a guy by the name of Daniel Ellsberg was working at the Pentagon. He was a military analyst employed by the RAND Corporation. And back in 1969, he came across this publication. And he started reading it. He said, wait a minute. Our young men are being killed over in Southeast Asia. The body count's rising. You got the government that's lying to the American people, left and right. You've got this influence by the government. So what did he do? He tried to expose this corruption. He took the Pentagon Papers in 69 and copied them. You see, he did not inconvenience electrons by emailing them. He could have, probably, right? No, of course not. There was no AOL account, or there was no @Clinton email, accounts back then. So we copied them. This is in 69. And he was looking for a place to, looking for a journalist, media people to cover this, saying, look, I've got smoking gun evidence that we're being lied to as a country by Nixon, by Johnson, by the military-industrial complex. And we're losing lives. And we're not fighting this war the way the war should be fought. It's a losing proposition, the rules of engagement. Does this any of this sound familiar to today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. But you see these documents. Excerpted from the 7,000-page, 47-volume, top-secret report. The excerpts were copied and later became known as the Pentagon Papers. They were actually celebrated by the political left as they laid bare the lies coming from the Oval Office and other key officials elected and appointed. All right. So Ellsberg leaked the documents to the New York Times. And I'm just going to give you a quick overview here. It's important. It's important. So Ellsberg leaked the documents to the New York Times, which began publishing the more explosive excerpts as front page news back starting on June 12, 1971. So the paper boy throws the paper on the White House, you know, west wing there. Nixon in his bathrobe goes out and picks up, you know, the papers, the New York Times, Washington Post, and all that, and looks, opens up the Times and says, "Oh, man. Looky here." Kissinger said, hey Dick, close your bathrobe. All right, but I digress. See, I got a bit of a history teacher, right? What do you think? Anyway,
yeah.
Hold on, see, it gets better, okay? Not the Nixon bathrobe thing, but it gets better.
Thank you, Eric.
So, Nixon's reading about stuff that his Defense Department commissioned in the newspaper, in the New York Times. And you know, he spits out coffee through his nose, man. He calls Kissinger, "Hey, Henry, pray with me, buddy. We got a problem." Well, that was June 12, 1971. Of course, this embarrassment incensed Nixon and his cabal of globalists, including Kissinger, of course, and then Attorney General John Mitchell. You remember that character, right? Oh, John Mitchell. His wife, Joni Mitchell. What'd she sing? No, wrong Mitchell. I'm sorry. Anyway, John Mitchell. By the way, Mitchell, Attorney General John Mitchell, what did he do? He quickly sought and obtained a federal court injunction to prevent further publication of the Pentagon Papers. All right. We shut up the New York Times. We shut them up. Well, the New York Times fought back. And essentially, well, they were ultimately joined by the Washington Post, which began its own coverage. And after a flurry of court maneuvers, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on January 30th. Now, think about that. 2 weeks later, roughly, or 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. That the government could not. You can't stop the releases. You can't do that, Dick. Hank. John. You can't do that. No, you can't do that. Well, now some things never change. Because when the leaks became legally unstoppable, what do you think they did? I mean, this is good. This is good. See? Nixon, Haldeman, and company, Kissinger, G. Gordon Liddy, remember G. Gordon Liddy, Howard Dean, any of these names ringing bells, anybody. All right. What do you think they did? When the Supreme Court said, "Nah, sorry guys, ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna shut down the presses." Well, here's what they did. They assembled, the criminal cabal within the globalist network assembled a secret group known as the Plumbers. Well, they were already kind of assembled, but that's what they were called. And what do plumbers do? They stop leaks, right? So they couldn't, these numbskull criminal CIA operatives at the behest of Nixon, they couldn't stop the papers from publishing the documents. So what'd they do? They decided to look into Ellsberg, and they found, wait a minute, Ellsberg, now he's receiving he goes in for therapy sessions. You know, he sees a psychiatrist. Of course, you work for the federal government. I guess you probably should. With deference to the good people there. Anyway, so Liddy and company and the CIA people, at the behest of the Nixon administration, the criminal cabal of CIA operatives known as the Plumbers, they break into Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Lewis Fielding was his name, and busted open the file cabinets looking for the file on Daniel Ellsberg. Why? Because they wanted to paint him as a mentally unstable, crazy conspiracy theorist. My, how things never change.
That's right.
Huh. So, actually, the break-in was orchestrated through the members of the CIA and was titled Hunt/Liddy Special Project Number 1. It failed to produce any such documentation. So, but here's the takeaway. Compare the Pentagon Papers in 1971 to WikiLeaks of today. Documents, the former in hard copy, you know, the old mimeograph machine, and the latter digital, just a bunch of electrons inconvenienced, were illicitly obtained but served the purpose of exposing government lies and corruption. It's interesting that the operational handbook, in my view, is nearly identical to what we're witnessing today. The criminal element within the government lies to the people they are supposed to serve. They're a bunch of liars. Behind that evil smirk of Hillary Clinton is nothing but lies. The operational similarities between the rogue operations element within the Nixon administration of the current Washington regime, in my view, are remarkable. The differences are equally remarkable for the media, who was once fighting to expose, and you can argue this, the damning information, regardless of intent, have now become servants to the tyrannical globalist powers. As the narrative has been revised, thanks to a compliant media, the criminal cabal has gained followers in the form of a public who, in equal parts, appear to be apathetic or deluded. Now, it's this group I mentioned that can be seen dutifully nodding like, you know, bobbleheads, and clapping like the organ-grinding monkeys at the deflections rather than succinct answers to legitimate questions that Hillary Clinton and her staff offer the swooning public. Of course, you don't answer questions. Donna Brazile, you know, the head of the DNC, when approached about the WikiLeaks, the Podesta WikiLeaks, and how in the world, Donna, she was asked, how could you possibly know a debate question before it was even asked before the debate? Donna says, well, wait a minute. Wait, you ain't going to be persecuting me. No. Don't be persecuting me. You see, you can't prove to me that I got my records. You can't prove that. You can't prove.
How about her own words?
Wait.
Feed me the questions early.
No. See, no, I didn't. You can't prove that I wrote that. You can't prove I wrote that. No. You see, what remains constant is that lies are still lies and truth is still truth. The criminality of these people, the globalists of all stripes, have been emboldened by the complicity of the media. Hillary Clinton and her cabal of criminal cronies have copied the playbook of the same people they claim to have once detested. Assange, in my view, is the present-day Ellsberg without media assistance in this case. In fact, he's the enemy of the media. He's anti-media. And according to the globalists, he must be stopped, and the disclosures must be buried. The leaks must be plugged. The modern-day plumbers.
Her own words. From time to time, I get the questions in advance. The email subject was titled in a letter written from Brazil, delivered to the Podesta's Gmail account. And the email is about a paragraph long. And it goes on to talk about, how the death penalty is a subject that worries Brazil about Hillary Clinton's response to it.
What a putz!
And then goes on to say,
give me Brazil's phone number. Let's get her on the phone.
Oh, we can get it.
Let's get her on the phone. And I want her to answer the question. Not deflect, but answer the question.
And one of the main points of her argument trying to say, well, this isn't true, is her claim that this information is false, that the emails are doctored.
So Russians! The Russians are coming!
Oh, yeah, the Russians.
Okay, well, now hold on. See, Again, Hillary Clinton and her cabal of criminal cronies have copied the playbook of the same people they claim to have once detested. And I say again, Assange is a present-day Ellsberg without the media assistance. He must be stopped. The disclosures must be buried. Those who propagate the information within the documents must be marginalized or silenced in any way necessary. And notice that steps have been taken already. And some very effectively. Now, as we get to the close of the bottom of the hour, just let me explain something here, because on the flip side here, it's something very important. But the importance of the information contained in these leaked documents cannot be understated. They lay bare the nuts and bolts of an out-of-control globalist regime that has captured the branches of our government and identify, these papers identify the co-conspirators and the takeover of our nation from within. And unlike the Pentagon Papers, the critical information from these documents won't be researched. They won't be made public by the corporate media. They're only going to be downplayed, and their legitimacy questioned, as in the case of Donna Brazile, as in the case of Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, as in the case of all of the globalists that are behind this, including some of the Republicans and so-called conservatives, and even the journalists. If you're a journalist out there and you're not paying attention to this, shame on you. You're no journalist at all. Censorship of the truth is in full swing. The new alternative media has become the new target of the modern day plumbers. Let me explain that when on the other side, but understand this. It's gotten serious. It's gotten serious. Censorship of the truth is in full swing, and if you have the truth, if you possess the truth, you are a target. You are a leak. And the plumbers are after you, the modern-day plumbers. And they ain't carrying wrenches. They ain't carrying duct tape. Well, they may be carrying duct tape, but not for the reasons that you think. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Follow us on Facebook, Hagmann Report, Twitter, at Hagmann Report. Of course, websites, HagmannandHagmann.com and HagmannReport.com. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Report coming at you at full throttle. Make sure your seatbacks and tray tables are in their full upright and locked position. We're coming at you. That's right, giving you information, inspiration. Next segment, we're gonna have a Joe. Or we're gonna have. It's your cue.
Going to have David Thomas, author David Thomas. He's the author of several books. Seal of God, The Path is Narrow, But the Reward is Great. Ken and Amber Brantley with David Thomas, Called for Life, How Loving Our Neighbor Led Us into the Heart of the Ebola Epidemic, and Faith Football and a Season to Believe, the book, Remember Why You Play, which ended up being a feature film. And in Hour 3, one of the main characters the book is written on, or it's a nonfiction book, so one of the main people the book's about, Jordan, will be joining us to talk about his experiences in all this. So it's going to be great.
Can't wait. Now, right before the break, we're talking about my comparison between the WikiLeaks in the Pentagon Papers from 1971. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. It's educational, informative, and somewhat entertaining, too, because I had Nixon in a bathrobe getting the paper from the... Ouch. Getting the paper from the White House lawn, and the paper boy throws it in the sprinklers, and he gets all wet and stuff. And anyway, learning about the leak in the New York Times, June 12, 1971 was the date. But see... And of course, what did they do? Just to recap this, what did Nixon, Haldeman, Kissinger, the globalists do? You know, they assembled a CIA criminal cabal posse, kind of, sort of, called the plumbers, and went to stop the leak. They assailed the sanity of Daniel Ellsberg. Of course, he's still living, by the way. And It was a mess. It was a horrendous mess. And of course, they took it to court to try to stop the leaks and the publishing of the papers, New York Times. And this is when the New York Times and the journalists, this is when they had some modicum of semblance that they were journalists, you see. But now that, again, I can see where that could be argued. I understand both sides of this, but at least they were doing something instead of saying, oh, you're a bunch of conspiracy nuts, you know. So, you see that? My daughter just said something. She walked into the studio. What? She just confirmed that we are conspiracy. You want the mic? You can have the mic. What you want to say?
It's not really a conspiracy theory if the theories you talk about become truth.
I love conspiracy theories.
Wait, you got to get closer to that because you got to get closer because I didn't hear that.
Debuting for the microphone, Jacqueline Hagman.
All I said was I love conspiracy theories, so send them our way.
All right. It's my daughter, Jackie. What a great girl.
If the theory is true, is it still a conspiracy?
Anything Disney related, send
it
my way.
Anything Disney related, she said. All right. But here's the serious part of this, because it's damn serious, folks. It's critically important right now for you to understand just how dangerous this situation has become. Look at Assange. Oh. Kerry goes over to London. Assange is in the basement of the Ecuadorian embassy there, where he's been for the last 4 years. Under threat, of course, he walks out. He's going to get arrested for sex crimes. Okay. Now, you might say, well, they're true. He should be arrested. Whatever. Well, now, hold on a minute.
Or if you're Bob Beckel, he should be drowned.
Yeah, drowned, right. But hold on a second. Isn't this something that we saw back in the 70s when they attempted to pin something on Ellsberg? I'm not saying it's the same. I'm just asking the question. So before we start spouting off of the guilt or activities of Assange, let's just think about this for a minute. But anyway, that aside, and people can debate that all day long, that aside, does that change the investigative work product or the work product that has been displayed, laid out, the information that has the thousands upon thousands of pages that have been laid out with the lies and the proof of governmental corruption in the form of the WikiLeaks, the Podesta files, the embarrassing stuff, the criminal stuff? Does that change that information? Or in the words of Donald Brazil, they done changed the, you know, from the Russians, it's stolen material and whatever else might have floated, you know, into her head. No, but here's the problem. You've got to understand those of us out here who are attempting to compile, assemble, publish, and provide. Connect the dots on the WikiLeaks papers are staring down the gun of staring down some asymmetrical methods to silence us. They've weaponized, the globalists have weaponized the various arms of the federal government, from the regulatory to the enforcement agencies, to silence truth tellers. And if you don't think that's true, I don't know what to tell you. Because, and there are individuals backed by groups who are doing just exactly that. There are individuals out there posing as, oh, little old bloggers, you know, doing this and doing that, and, you know, they're not who they say they are. Now they're being paid, they're being funded, they're being organized, they're being supported by some pretty serious people. It's a time for all of you who are assembling this stuff to watch when you let your dog out. I mean, literally, let your dog out. Or when you or when you go to the store, you watch what you put on your computer or don't put on your computer. You watch, you make sure that your bank account is, you're not doing anything funny with your bank account, or, you know, by accident, hidden behind that smirk, that smirk of Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, is a rabid determination to retain their grip, Hillary, Bill, and the globalists all around, on power, on influence, and wealth, most importantly wealth. Today, they've increased their allies and foot soldiers from the corporate media to nearly every branch of government. Those searching the truth are the targets. The prize in the balance is the fate of our nation. We're despicable, we're deplorable, we're conspiracy kooks. And Joe had a posting on HagmanReport.com where he said, where he pointed out, where Hillary Clinton, when approached by O'Keefe's video. See, this is another thing that we have done as investigators. We've taken covert audio and video where permitted by law under pretext. Oh, of course, under pretext, that's a non-Christian thing to do, right? No. 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 Into the individual who said that.
Just like police officers.
You're a contemptible, miserable human being.
Just like police officers use false pretenses in order to gather information when conducting investigations, it is perfectly legal for private investigators to do the same. And
that's right. But see, now, Joe, what did when confronted with O'Keefe and the Democratic, hey, we're going to start riots and hurt people and steal votes and all that, that Bob Creamer and what was it, Stephen Fogel, when confronted with that,
stepped down.
Yeah, they both stepped down. Of course, they're not guilty of anything. They just did so out of respect for the Democratic Party. What? on the aircraft, on the airplane, on Hillary's private flying penthouse.
Yeah, now after the debate, there was a press conference given to the Clinton press corps on her plane. Now, Hillary Clinton was asked about the James O'Keefe video and asked about the what she thought. As post-debate questions in a press conference held by Hillary Clinton were answered, reporters questioned about the debate and a number of other things. Hillary made some remarks on a number of different issues, yet continues to show she has no plans on how to improve the divided nation. During the interview, she said a number of misleading and false statements. One of these statements, Clinton was asked about the Project Veritas James O'Keefe video showing DNC operatives bragging about and triggering violence at Donald Trump rallies. She, since the release of those damaging videos, two of the people caught bragging on tape have been let go by the Clinton administration. Her response to the question should help people understand her constant lying, along with the claims of ignorance when it pertains to scandals that are damaging to her. Her response, when asked about how these operatives coordinated through the Clinton campaign, you know, did she know, did she have something to do with it? Her response was, I know nothing about this, and I can't deal with every one of these conspiracy theories.
What a bunch of crap. What a load of crap. Conspiracy theories. No,
and
these aren't
the first time. During her, the Bill Clinton sexual allegations when he was president, that what led to his impeachment, she referred to the scandals as a vast right-wing conspiracy, using the same tactics when talking about her husband's sexual scandals as she did talking about her own Clinton campaign scandals, inciting violence to the point where it did shut down a Trump rally in Chicago, in Cleveland. They talk about using homeless people. In Chicago. They talk about using the homeless people.
That's right.
They talk about hiring the mentally disabled. They talk about setting up shell corporations in order to funnel money through the Clinton campaign, Clinton Foundation, to these shell corporations in order to pay for these agitators that come here to the rallies and commit violence.
Yep.
They have even, the records were released, financial records were released, that showed how people were flown, put up in hotels, flown to the city from where they lived, put in hotels, given up to $1,600 on top of that as payment for what they did at the rally.
Yeah.
With the whole purpose of having people dress up as Trump supporters and commit acts of violence against those opposed to Trump to create the public perception that Trump's rhetoric is dangerous and that being a part of his rallies and his campaign is tantamount to being violent.
Yeah, exactly. So we are fighting this stigma, this stain, of course, of what is known as conspiracy theories. One thing Donald Trump has done is advance the legitimacy of these. He's elevated what some would call conspiracy theories into the mainstream. And it's interesting to me that people still believe, or that people believe, period, that the comebacks, for example, on Clinton. Well, she's been under investigation for 30 years. Why do you think that is? Because she's been a criminal for the last 30 years. But see, you know, it's for example, the State Department, when she was with the Department of State, you realize they did not have an inspector general, the person that oversees the events of the State Department. So it goes to the Attorney General. Well, what happens there? Well, of course, when the Attorney General is bought off, who do you complain to? It's like living in a township where your township police force is compromised, and you go to make a complaint against the ruling family of the township. You're not going to get any relief, of course. Well, this is that on a larger scale. So you are. And her supporters turn around, and for whatever reason, whether they're just mentally disabled, impaired, otherwise deluded, or if they're just naive, I don't know I don't know. They'll say, oh, well, 30 years worth of investigations, they found nothing. Well, of course not. When you control the investigation, you control the outcome. How stupid so, and you're telling me that someone in government service can walk into, I mean, the proof is in the lifestyle. You walk into government service, and how much do you get paid as a president? I don't know. I don't know what the current salary is, but
$220,000, I believe.
I don't know what it is currently, but you know what? It doesn't matter. And you walk out of there, and you become, a multi-billionaire. How does that happen? Okay, does it happen legally? Because you're an author and your books sell and you go out on the book circuit and speaker circuit. Well, sure, some people do go out in the speaker circuit and they charge fees, but not pay to play in Clinton's position. But see, the American people don't want to hear that. Now, of course, the debates last night, just very quick. Oh, before we get into the debates, folks, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do me a solid, everybody. I gotta stop saying that. What was it? At Real Tech. Real Tech Eric. Yeah. Real Tech Eric on Twitter. Real Tech Eric on Twitter. Everyone got that? Real Tech Eric on Twitter. He's made some amazing graphics and grabbed some amazing graphics. Available for retweet. Let's flood the Twitter sphere. It's not a money thing. No, it's not. Eric just said not a money thing. Why not? No. Tell me again. Real Tech Eric. Real Tech Eric. Real Tech Eric. So go out there and spread the I was looking at some of the pictures. My goodness, they're funny. Sad. Sadly true, but funny. Disturbing, but funny nonetheless in a twisted sort of way. So, yeah, we have an office pool to see how long Eric the Tech's, Real Tech Eric's page is going to stay up on Twitter. So let's see if you can... Don't complain about it, but go ahead and retweet his tweets if you have a Twitter account. And it's, of course, it's fun. So, I've got Tuesday in the pool when his Twitter account will be banned because of offensive material. And it's not offensive. It's true. Sad, but true. So we'll see what happens. So get out there and go ahead and retweet. That's Real Tech Eric on Twitter. Retweet. I want to publicly thank John Robertson. John, thank you so much. I don't know if you're listening, but if you are, thank you so much. You've done such great work. He was the engine behind many of tonight's guests and many of the guests that we've had, scheduling. He's worked very hard at coordinating people's schedules.
And he's got,
that's a heck of a job.
Not only that, he's got a great lineup in through the next few weeks, with new guests and, very interesting subject matter that we're going to hear from these new people, and we're going to hear some brand new subject matter from these new people, and it's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. And again, thank you, John, for all you have done.
Absolutely. And folks, have you done it yet? Have you gone to This Generation series of novels? Have you gone there? Folks, T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels. In this thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. T.C. novels moves, they take you right through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon. And read them fast, because these events are coming quickly. T.C. Joseph's, his witty style and fascinating characters provide a great read. Not only will you love these books as I do, but they can be a great tool to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times we face. Now, I actually have given a set of these books, out, and they've done wonders. Actually, people love the books, and the message is great. Now, Kirkus Reviews states that, and I quote, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Ink Reviews calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Folks, get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Book one is Precipice, book two, Pentecost, and coming soon, Penance, book three. Just want to say thank you to T.C. Joseph and to all of our sponsors for supporting our show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for supporting our program as well. We do our best to bring you the truth as quickly and as efficiently as possible. We hope to never let you down, at least not intentionally. And we want to expose these globalists. We want to fight. That's our calling, using our abilities to expose the darkness and to fight against what we're seeing take place here in America. Now, one thing I noticed about, and globally, one thing I noticed about the debate last night, folks, I don't know whether you saw this or not. No one commented on this. I've seen nothing on this, but did you watch Huma? Huma. Did you watch Huma? Did you watch Hillary Clinton? First of all, Hillary kind of worked the crowd after the debate last night. Donald Trump left, but Hillary worked the crowd. Now, when I was watching Hillary, I was watching her body language.
Okay.
I was watching Huma's body language, too. Huma was really, really, like, super concerned, in my view, about getting Hillary the heck out of there. Overly concerned. Overly concerned. And the more I watched, I was waiting for Hillary to something to happen, because Huma, Huma, of course, Muslim Brotherhood Huma, you know, Hillary's body person. But anyway, I was waiting for something to happen. There was something there. And then, of course, I don't know how many people saw that or think that that's important, but I think that's important. I really do. And I think, speaking about the debates, however, I do believe that Donald Trump probably squandered a couple of good opportunities. I'm not gonna look. You know, I don't know if I could withstand a debate. I suppose I could. I'd have to hold in check my desire to, you know, walk across the stage and slap them. Somebody slap. I have to, you know, make it gender neutral. So I don't know. It's just I'm looking at and the characterizations that America would be, in my view, much greater and much more dangerous with Trump. To me, is ludicrous. I don't believe that to be the case. You've got checks and balances, or at least that's what you should have, even at the worst case scenario. But I do believe that I'm getting the feeling that Election Day is going to see. Now, again, I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm wrong. I'm not wishing for this. I'm just going to, and I'm not fatalistic about it. But I'm just getting the feeling that Hillary, at this point, is going to waltz in with the win. And by the way, Trump, in my view, you know, when questioned about the, are you going to concede if it's a Hillary win? I think it was implied if there, you know, even if in the event there were some irregularities. I think that was implied in that question. And I think he should have clarified that. Because I can't see him saying, you know, if it's a clear victory on Clinton's part, I can't see him holding things up by contesting it. What good would that do? Anyway, but I think it was implied on his part. But I do believe that the system is rigged, and I think it's all on the Electoral College and as well. But I'm hearing things too from in the event of a Hillary win. I'm hearing things from the military that there might be some people getting out of the military. I don't know. I do see a Hillary victory, barring. I mean, if the elections were held tomorrow, I would see a Hillary victory, and I would see this false, celebratory mood by these mind-numbed idiots out there. And really, the destruction of America to follow.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I wanted to ask this one question: that black guy, that big black guy. Do we ever identify him?
Yeah, and his name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, Obunga,
but he has not been seen.
He was seen yesterday. He was out. Okay. He was out bopping around her. Around
there,
Hillary.
There you go.
But my question is: okay, so who is he?
He is a
who is he?
Handler slash doctor.
I get emails. Oh, he's a Secret Service agent. All right. I want to know who he is. I don't want you to tell me who you think he is. I don't want something. I want to know. Verification here. That's all. But I saw him yesterday, and you just gotta wonder too. He's got that look in his eyes that, you know, he's expecting something, like, you know, something's not right here with Hillary. Obviously, we know that. But anyway, all right. So there we have it. The WikiLeaks. We are getting into that deeply. Watch Hagman report tomorrow. I've got my report coming out on what I spoke about in the first hour. You can comment on that at CanadaFreePress.com. Joe's got other things coming out at Hagman Report. Of course, follow us on our social networking as well. Just go to Hagman at Hagman.com and you'll find our social networking sites there. Coming up, next segment,
David Thomas.
Absolutely. You're going to want to stick around for this, folks. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.